Standing by.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to say farewell to Prince. Fucking hell, another one drops off the planet in, is it mysterious circumstances?
Well, they were saying I just happened to see some of the rags, you know, the prostitute papers, and what were they saying? It was he supposedly OD'd on the same drug pharmaceutical thing that Michael Jackson had. Some bollocks, I don't know, man.
I was talking to someone who lived a long time in LA last night, and they were saying that every motherfucker who's got any money in the States has just got their own pharmacy at home. Yeah. They just stock up with everything they need. You know, I'll have this to get up, I'll have that to go down. And apparently Prince was no different. He had his own he's on Paisley Park in pharmaceutical guy going something.
But it wasn't the same thing that killed Michael Jackson. That was actually the anesthetic, the general anesthetic that he was taking. Prince was on just like a heavy duty, like OxyContin type, like morphine.
Yeah, called Percocet.
What I read on the rags. That was just in passing. As I passed by, I was like, what is this? I can't remember what specific.
Yeah, his plane stopped here in Illinois on his way home from a performance in Atlanta about less than a week ago. And it was an emergency situation. He was less than an hour from landing, you know, at his home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was hospitalized and was unresponsive due to a Percocet overdose, so they gave him Narcan or similar, but something that's, you know, generally used for overdose of an opiate, because he's had severe hip issues for the past several years, and would bet a nickel that when this is all said and done, it was an unfortunate accidental overdose on pain med.
On prescription drugs, yeah. Well, I saw him back in the 80s and he used to do the splits and...
Yeah, man.
No fucking...
That's going to do your hips,
In high heels. The
genitalia bearing people should be doing fucking stuff like that, really.
Well, has he got any kids? Has he got any kids? I don't think he has, is he?
He had to.
His son... He had one son that was born and died due to a skull birth defect. And his wife also had a miscarriage. So would have had two children. But so everything's going to his sister, since she's the nearest of kin. And he had no will that one is talking about yet. Everything... an approximately $800 million fortune is going to go to his sister.
But it's not just that. Apparently, Paisley Park, the vaults in there, there's something like 1,000 movies and documentaries that are ready to just go, and countless albums. So you'll probably hear, like, you know, albums forever.
Yeah, I think hasn't he got like stuff to release for them, like, the next 20 years or something, or the enough material?
Yeah,
quite possibly, sure.
And pretty much done all by himself.
Well, yeah, when you can play 37 instruments, what do you need others for? If you've got multi-track recording equipment, okay.
Yeah. And your own state-of-the-art stuff and all that, sort of, not bad. It's funny, I was looking at you know, building guitars and all that sort of thing. And I just happened across this forum about his guitar collection and his, you know, guitar techs. Guy's written this blog. And you know those squiggle guitars? He's sort of signature, the one from Purple Rain and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're all broken because he used to like throw them up in the air and sort of like they were only made of sort of, they weren't made of like, you know, in stud because of all the intricate sort of patterns on them. And yeah, none of them are left. There was 12 made and they're all bust. And he used to play the guitar that he bought from like a five and dime, like a, you know, a really cheap sort of Telecaster copy. Mm. And he just had it, just kept having it repaired. And that was always his guitar that he wrote everything on and played everything on. Sorry. If I check, looking for a slipper. So yeah, I mean, it was quite funny because I immediately thought about what you were saying last week, Swami, about all the rich people disappearing from Illinois and Chicago and all that. And it does seem like, you know, if you want to put your tinfoil hat on, that it's a bit like all these rich people are just fucking getting off planet.
Yep. Breakaway civilization.
Yeah. Well, they've got the band sorted out, haven't they? They've got the entertainment sorted out. Bowie and Prince all like on the bill off planet. Don't know. Just thought. But we also had...
found it interesting that... within a few hours after, you know, his body was taken away from the house, people photographed a rainbow over the face of the location. That was interesting.
Oh, really? All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Geez, you know, I haven't really looked at it. All I've looked at is just the sort of MSN.
This Swami put up a link to the photo on the Type 1 Radio group on Facebook, so... It'll be there when you get to it.
Did you see the controversy over his Instagram page?
Oh, being edited or yeah. Whatever?
Yeah, the last picture he put up, his caption, which read, "Just when you thought you were safe," got erased from the picture. Huh. That's quite spooky.
All right, cheers, Dan. Cheers for calling by.
Bye, take
fellas.
Care, Dan.
Yeah, the dog needs a wee wee.
It's a tight one.
Namaste, Dan and dog.
It's a tight one first. Dog wees.
Yeah, crazy old shit.
And do you think it's just very coincidental? The run up to the Queen's birthday, which Prince died on, there was this campaign going around Britain about clean up for the Queen, and all these posters were purple.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she is a monarch after all, isn't she? You know, it was a bit funny that she died. He died on the Queen's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite synchronistic in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
And after having, you know, made public videotaped statements against the quote Illuminati unquote and chemtrails and, you know, so I mean, he was hip to what's going on, and it's just, he didn't talk all that much.
And
this Swami had the opportunity to see, we were, you know, standing right next to each other, back in the Wayback Machine in the 80s. In Oklahoma City, this Swami was in a radio station for a job interview, and Prince and his security guy and his rep, manager, whatever, came through for an interview and didn't really know that much about him, was just like, well, look at that little Keebler.
Yeah. I'm surprised you could see him from your height.
Well, partly could, because the bodyguard guy was enormous. I mean, I could stand behind him. You wouldn't see me. And there's just a little prince.
He was a tiny little fella for sure, yeah.
Is your washing finished?
Excuse me, listeners, dear listeners. I'll just turn my washing machine off.
See? That's type 1 multitasking right there.
You can tell that we're not in studio. We're in the home. The home of type 1.
We're in the kitchen.
Le cucina. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how we also, over in this country, we had a very, very famous comedian, a lady called Victoria Wood, who died.
Yeah.
Very sad. 62. She was like, she was one of those people that you thought, oh, fucking hell, her again. But when you actually sat and watched her and listened to, she was the cleverest, funniest woman going, sort of thing. And she sadly passed the day before Prince.
And quite a lot of the times in the, in, like, they're either the sketches or the shows, she gave the sort of punchline. She was like the, played the straight character, didn't she, quite a lot of the time, to like Julie Walters in particular, madness.
Yeah.
As in, like, Acorn Antiques.
Acorn Antiques was just so quintessentially British and just that. I mean, the only way to describe her to our American friends, and maybe kind of, she's the female equivalent of Billy Connolly over here. Just, you know, clever story. Just a musician as well. She played the piano, but she was just dead funny, really funny.
But and, also an amazing actress, like, in straight acting, you know, just...
straight stuff. Yes. Sorely missed. Apparently she was cracking jokes right until the minute the light went out.
And cool. And another really short, quick cancer.
A sudden cancer, like...
Which seems to be... which seems to be quite prevalent at the moment, you know, like... with Lemmy and, I suppose David Bowie's was quite...
Well, Bowie was like a 3 or 4 year sort of battle, apparently. It's coming out now, sort of thing, that he was... and Johan Cruyff, of course.
Another notable death this week, for anyone who was once a fan of pro wrestling, very... muscular woman once known as China, Chyna, died this week in her apartment in Redondo Beach, California. She also turned to porn after her pro wrestling career was over. But, she's gone too.
She also turned to porn, but who else did before they died? I found a story, let me see if I can find it, about Prince. As a child, his mum said that he'd been visited by angels. He's also been immortalized in a cartoon now. A cartoon of, like, Purple Rain. I can't find that one. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, caught that, where you put that up there about, from the, what was the guy's name, Travis Smiley?
Oh, yeah, it was in
the interview.
It was in the... I'm looking in the wrong group there. It was, I put it in that one, didn't I? Put it in ours. Princes Otherworldly Encounters. This is from the Daily Grail. There was always something otherworldly about Prince, a pixie-like man, 5'2" in stature. who possessed musical talents that could only be assumed was bestowed upon a crossroads in the deep south around midnight.
Around 3 a.m.
So it doesn't seem too surprising that in 2009, Prince told of how, according to his mother, as a youngster, he had an encounter with an angel who cured him of childhood epilepsy. I never spoke about this before, but I was born epileptic, and I used to have seizures when I was young. My mother and father didn't know what to do or how to handle it, but they did with the best of their abilities. My mother told me one day that I walked into her and said, "Mum, I'm not going to be sick anymore." "Why?" she asked. "An angel told me so." "Oh, bless little Prince." So there we have it.
Now, he also made the statement that he doesn't recall that. That's what his mother told him happened.
Yeah. But he was quite a devout Jehovah's Witness, wasn't he? And he...
Yeah. Towards the end, I mean. Yeah. So. He did a video called Holy River.
Hopefully he didn't get onto Santos's Flat Earth section of the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah,
there's room for crazy people everywhere.
Yeah. I had a good story like years ago that after Sinead O'Connor had Nothing Compares to You, it was a massive hit sort of mm-hmm. thing and all that, and she was summoned to Paisley Park because he was really impressed with what she'd done with the song and how she got the sentiment of it and all that. And he said, but he wanted to tell her off because she swore too much. And so she needed a call and went, "Why don't you fuck off, you old bastard?" And have you ever seen the Kevin
Smith?
I pretty
much had to see that coming.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he thought he could convert her, but obviously not. So, there's a Kevin Smith one as well that you should watch where he's summoned to Paisley Park and he says that he really enjoys his style of filmmaking and he wants him to make a documentary about the sort of the thing he's doing at the minute with some sort of education trip in Minnesota or in Minneapolis where he was and all that. And Kevin Smith's going, "Well, I'm not a documentary maker. I make fucking, I do tits and ass gags." He's going, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. We can't have any of that, and it's got to be like purely. He's going, "Look, I'm not a fucking documentary maker." So he actually kept him there for ages, and he just sort of like, "Oh, fuck, all right, I'll do it," sort of thing. And he ended up making this documentary in like 3 weeks, and he's going like, people take a year minimum to sort of do a dog, scripting it, shooting it, and all the rest of it. But Prince wanted it done like right away. And he said after he'd done it, he just locked it in a vault. That's when I was saying that he's got all these movies ready to go, because apparently he spoke to a few other people and they're going, "Yeah, he did that to me as well, fucking hell, idiot." So he's actually got like all these feature films and documentaries all sort of sitting, because he almost sounds like he was compiling a sort of archive of.
So do you think that even though they're allowed to talk about the fact that they have made these things, that there's some sort of non-disclosure about what's in it, and that's why it's been
possibly, possibly. But it was all like he wanted them to do their thing, but he kept sort of a tight rein on it, and he always had sort of people, sort of minions, sort of like I'm always sort of thing, and just when he would seem like, "Oh fuck it, I'm going," Prince would turn up and sort of like it'd be like, so it's almost like he's sort of watching in a secret lair, security cameras and what have you, sort of thing.
Like in Pulp Fiction.
Kevin Smith was kind of alluding to, he seemed to know a lot of things that was, you can't just tell that from people.
He's doing a Mayor Wallace.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw him, apparently he got straight off the plane here and took all the fans that were waiting for him at Heathrow, took them all to McDonald's. And bought them all a fucking Big Mac. Oh. There was about 300 or 400 people there, sort of thing, so quite a generous little fucker.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose he's he's obviously quite likes his fans, and you know, if they've been waiting there for him, he's obviously feels obligated to feed them.
Well, plus he needed a snack himself, obviously.
Yeah, might as well drag him along.
I can't sneak to McDonald's, so I might as well bring these 300 people with me.
Let's face it, you're not going to eat that airline food, are you?
Well, airline food must be shit if McDonald's is the better option.
Oh, right. No, we got stuck on a plane once on the runway, and fucking the reason being was that the flight crew are not allowed to fly on an empty stomach, and they hadn't had the lunch. And like,
but we're starving.
We were fucking waiting, and suddenly some dudes comes on, and they've got bags of McDonald's stuff. And we go, "No, mate, that's not nourishing enough. We're gonna die. We're gonna crash." Yeah, so.
Along the death theme, this Swami has a bong, if we have a sound effect or vocal effect.
I've got the sound effect just a moment. Here we go. Just a moment. We've bonged.
Oh, for those here in the U.S., retail icon Sears is going through another round of store closings that will kill 68 Kmarts and 10 Sears stores across the country. Hundreds of underperforming stores have been cut in the last 2 years by Sears, but its economic bleeding continues unabated. Sears Holdings reported $580 million in losses for the quarter ending January 30th. The Illinois-based company released a statement Monday saying, quote, aggressive actions, unquote, were needed to save its future. The decision to close stores is a difficult but necessary step as we take aggressive actions to strengthen our company, fund our transformation, and restore Sears to profitability. We're focusing on our best members, our best categories, and our best stores as we work to accelerate our transformation. Liquidation sales will be held April 29th and May 12th, as reported by USA Today. The company, which has survived for over 120 years and was once the largest U.S. retailer, did not mention the total number of jobs that would be lost. The store has not been profitable since 2012.
Is that the same Sears that has got the Sears Tower? Or who's that's named after?
Yeah.
Used to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Used to be, yeah. Sears were the biggest, like, kind of department store in the States for years, weren't they? The sort of budget
one. Yeah. Before Walmart.
Before Walmart.
I mean, everybody, you know, when this Swami was a youngin, you know, everybody just waited for the Sears catalog before Christmas so you could circle the stuff you want, you know, and present it to the parents, who then magically transmitted that to Santa somehow. And, you know, we didn't think about all that stuff.
That was from Sears. Over here, it was the Grattan catalog.
Littlewoods catalog.
Yeah, and the Littlewoods.
Littlewoods catalog, yeah. 129 payments, so £1.2.
Yeah.
Well, what we'll perhaps likely end up seeing in time to come is... don't know if you guys were aware, but there were some extremely mysterious Walmart closings not long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those stores, everything has been packed out of them. Razor wire has been mounted on top of the stores. Tanks and Department of Homeland Security vehicles have been in their parking lots. So it would seem highly likely that these closed store buildings will be repurposed as detention centers of some sort. Now, following on the heels of that, another bong here.
Do you want a bong?
Yes, please.
There you go.
Okay. Homeland Security trains Texas cops to deal with riots for the first time. Police advised by FEMA officials how to conduct, quote, mass arrests, end quote. The Department of Homeland Security oversaw a first of its kind 3-day training exercise in Texas this week, during which police officers from 15 different departments took part in drills on how to deal with riots and conduct mass arrests. Dozens of McLennan Community College students posed as unruly demonstrators during the drill, which took place at the McLennan Community College Emergency Services Education Center. Quote, this type of training has never been in Texas before, training coordinator Jay Fonville told the Waco Tribune. Cops learned how to counter, quote, domestic and civil disturbances, end quote, during the training, which was coordinated by the Department of Homeland Security Center for Domestic Preparedness, as well as, quote, proper use of batons, mass arrest procedures, and riot control formations. Riots are hard to detain, and as little officers as they have, they're probably going to be outnumbered most of the time. It's vital that they get it correct the first time. The exercises involve protesters provoking cops, but classroom briefings on large crowd management, critical thinking, intuitive decision-making skills, and the public's right to peaceably assemble were also held. FEMA instructors were on hand to advise cops on the protesters' quote, constitutional rights, end quote, as well as how to, quote, handle situations with multiple arrests and mobile field force team methods, end quote. The training is expected to be put into practice in realistic situations, and more drills are planned for the future. As highlighted yesterday, police departments across the country are buying riot gear in expectation of more Ferguson-style civil unrest sweeping the country. Top insurer Lloyd's of London also released a report that warned of a, quote, pandemic, end quote, of global civil unrest that could go viral while panicked elitists have been busy preparing for doomsday scenarios by purchasing luxury underground survival bunkers to protect them from the general public. Now, also playing into this, what we're seeing take place right now, even as we speak, this is a letter to a rather popular online website from a former, well, no, current, excuse me, military trainer who says, what we did in Iraq was a real life beta test for what is going on in America now and for what is going to happen soon. In 2009, my team was sent to an undisclosed location in Iraq between Ramada and Fallujah, and we were tasked with training the Iraqi army on how to deploy specialized tactics during a civilian uprise. I was part of a special team that actually oversaw the training for riot control and mass detention operations for the Iraqi army. We trained the Iraqis on the same exact tactics that were reported in this most recent article about the Texas law enforcement officers' civil unrest training from FEMA. After a few days of training, the Iraqi army was left, and we went back to our base to give reports on the training. I specifically asked my commanding officer, why did we teach the Iraqis on how to use the old stomp and drag techniques, give them shields, and give them 40-millimeter launchers with less than lethal ammo? I remember specifically asking, what citizen uprising scenario were we expecting while we're in a full-on war? The whole entire country was in a riot. No answers were given to me, but I got an award for our mission. Hip, hip, hooray. So the Iraqi army that we were training got deployed to Fallujah for some real-life situation. Because apparently there were protesters on the streets. By the way, everyone protested us being in Iraq, which included those of us who were there. So how did that go? The reports we heard were that the Iraqi army could barely form a shield wall while being bombarded with rubble from the protesters and ended up firing a few gas rounds into the road that had exactly no effect. After a few minutes of frustration, the Iraqi army opened fire into the crowd and killed a few dozen of these protesters. This particular incident was referred to as, quote, good training. The whole thing went wrong, and we should have been there overseeing them, but we weren't. We taught them and we left. They screwed up and killed people. Their fault, not ours, right? Wrong. Now, look where we are now in this country. This is coming to a street near you. Those former Israeli Special Forces guys that we were training with last month said within a year or two, we're going to look like Israel. A nation at war with the surrounding countries and fighting terrorism inside its borders. A prisoner inside your own nation because of, quote, terrorism. This is an example of what the military and its counterparts from the government and other governments can do if they want to stop hostile unrest of the people in a nation. I know because I've done this in Iraq and am doing it now in the U.S. The comparison of Iraq and America is shocking when you think of the motives. What is the incident that will put us into this civil war, civilian uprising, rebellion against tyrannical government? That being said, I do not believe for one second that our nation's law enforcement or military will turn on their own families and friends. But that theory does not apply to foreign countries, robots, or clones. The elite are building a robot and clone army. Yes, I said that. The elite are going to use small third world country militaries in conjunction with larger military groups from larger nations to attack the U.S. citizens from every direction. This should be well researched if you don't believe me. If reminded, I'll touch upon this again next time. We can see things starting to line up now. Food is more expensive, stock market is failing, gas prices climbing again, the earth is erupting in fire and quakes, countries are starting wars and rumors of war. I have posted previously on how to hide during a poo-poo hitting the propellers scenario. For now, here are some basic starters to keep in mind in the event we hope never comes. Have at least 20 meals per person in your home. Have two water bottles, for each meal per person. This gives you water during the meal and between meals if you don't drink both bottles of water during the meal. Eat 3 to 4 times a day, if possible, depending on your situation. For each meal, drink 1 bottle of water. Between meals, drink 1 bottle of water. Stay hydrated. The environment and workload on your body will determine how much you need to drink. If you have the ability to store up to 3 small meals a day, try to only eat handfuls at a time throughout the day. This keeps your protein and calorie intake at a constant. It won't fill you up and make you sluggish and tired. It gives you small amounts of controlled energy boosts with each handful meal and actually helps keep your food storage much, much longer. This can all be adjusted depending on environment. And it goes on with some more sorts of things, but this is most assuredly what we are witnessing today. The end.
So more militarization.
Oh, absolutely.
To get back to the Walmart, those big buildings closing, don't you think that the pictures or the footage from Paisley Park, that looked like a big warehouse, didn't it?
Well, it was a big facility, sure, a big building. I mean, it didn't look anything like a house.
Almost like a...
Well, it had a...
Yeah, like a Big Brother-style house where it's all...
complex, wasn't it, with lecture halls and recording studios and theatres, and as well as a crib. He's Paisley, what do you call it? Doesn't Reset live near, close by? He used to drive past it every day to work, didn't he?
Yes, he got in contact with me last night. He says hello to everybody. I've said that he's welcome to come and chill with us any time he wants.
He could have been a Minneapolis correspondent out in the streets and to Prince fans. So probably
let's
out there with one.
Oh, while we're speaking of those welcome to come and chill with us, kindly allow this Swami to promote next Saturday, which is April 30th, also known as Walpurgis Night. We will have the man who wrote the book on Walpurgis Night, Mr. Thomas Sheridan, live in the Type 1 Radio Lounge. So those of you who follow Thomas and his exploits, or those who are unfamiliar yet, please attend. We guarantee you it will be time well spent.
It was that will be a great show, definitely.
Yep.
I think he's slowly getting through to finishing the part 2 of that that book.
Well, we can ask him next week.
Yeah.
Thomas has got so many irons in the fire. I'm just curious how, because I mean, we know he's involved in a number of different projects and things, movies and all sorts of things. The Megalith movie project, or whether that's a series or a movie.
I think it's more going to be like a documentary. So like just a one-off thing. But we can. Let's ask him next week.
he would know a little.
Don't take it from me.
No, we'll save that one for next week, not for next time. So it was Earth Day.
And just for him to come back to the birthplace of the velocity of now is, this is kind of special to us.
Yeah, the gang will be back together.
Well, yeah. So, Was it, when was Earth Day? Was it the 22nd? Was it yesterday?
Yes. Yep. So Agenda 21 day.
Yeah.
Or Agenda 2030 day.
2030 day, or just the evil plans. Well, you know when the first Earth Day was?
1970, I believe.
1970s, right? And how many of the drastic predictions have come true?
None of them, have they?
None. Absolutely fuck all. But they're still pandering to them.
Did you hear about the strange case of the guy that invented Earth Day?
No.
No.
Apparently, he ended up murdering his wife or girlfriend and then composting her. So he's like true to the cause.
At least he respects her. Yeah.
Soylent Green is people.
I think he's now banged up though.
Let's hope those
sorts of crazy people, need some help and don't need to be on the streets.
Right. We've got places for them. Primarily, they're filled with, you know, pot smokers, but we've got the room. Not a problem.
Unfortunately, the other type of green agenda people, like the Rockefellers and the well, at least we've got rid of one of them. Maurice Strong, he died last year, didn't he? So. He's out of the picture, but your Soroses and your Kissingers, they're the psychopaths that can't or are not arrested for their crimes.
No.
Or else Hillary Clinton would be in jail. She is one of their lapdogs. She sold more arms. Than anybody.
Reset.
We want to have a laugh at the list. Sorry.
Reset's listening. He said he's not going to join us for this show. He wants to just have a listen. So let's say hello, Reset.
Is he too Namaste. Sad about Prince?
Yeah, I think he's a bit sad about.
The whole of Minnesota must be mourning that their greatest superstar is dead.
Yeah.
Shame. Do we want to have a laugh at this list?
Yes, let's have a laugh. Yeah.
Well, number one, it said Civilization. This is from 1970, don't forget. So when was that?
46 years ago.
So 46 years ago, they said Civilized would end within 15 or 30 years. Civilization's still here. 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death, but in the next 10 years. Well, don't think that one came true, did it? Population will completely and completely outstrip whatever small increase in food supplies we make.
No.
Well, that's fucking...
Well, we've still got... You know, Butter Mountain.
Well, Monsanto took care of that one for us, didn't they? Demographers agree almost unanimously 35 years from now that the entire world will be in famine.
No. Nope.
That's number four. In a decade, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive the air pollution. Well, only if you're at a, what do you call them, clubs? Bondage clubs. Childbearing will be a punishable crime against society unless parents hold a government license. That's number six. That's what they want. I mean, they want to fucking bring this in. By the year 2000, there won't be any more crude oil.
I mean, they just keep finding more of the stuff, don't they?
Yeah, I know, yeah. So that was the list. That was the seven points that we were going to be fucking ourselves with 1970. So, yeah, none of them have come anywhere near close. Apart from the childbearing thing is law in China, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're only allowed one
Aren't they trying to relax that a little bit now? I think maybe to try and ease their integration into like Western mindset.
Also they need more workers in those factories that are there now that used to be in the U.S.
Yeah, building iPhones and
Was a billion not enough?
Obviously not.
Is it 1 or 2 billion in Chinese?
There's 2 billion. They're a third.
2 billion, yeah.
A third of the world's population.
Hmm. There you go.
Did any of you two happen to catch any of the what's going on in the precious metals markets?
No, I think I did see something wrong.
Is gold going up or going down?
Both, but China is very, very close to a gold-backed yuan.
Oh, dear.
Which
there we go. There's
most
World War
likely that will take out the dollar as the reserve currency in all likelihood.
I did hear that they were thinking of ditching the dollar. So obviously that's why, because they're trying to do the same thing as Saddam and Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
Yeah. Mm. So somehow I don't think they'll have the same reaction as they had with those two people.
No, they won't be fucking invading Beijing, mate.
No. I think their army's bigger than the rest of the world combined, yeah. Isn't it? Isn't it like over 1 million just in the regular army?
Yep.
It's a lot. And yet, a load of bucks to buy.
And yet, America still outstrips everybody, all the world's. Military spending budget combined is less than America's, and quite a bit less as well.
We've got our best U.S. naval vessels can now be turned off like a light switch by Russian fighter jets.
Yeah,
electronically. So they just become enormous sitting ducks.
Yeah.
And that's just a hint of what's actually happening in the dilapidated U.S. weaponry systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, wasn't it funny?
Dilapidated infrastructure and bridges and plumbing and all the rest of that here in the U.S.
Well, we had good old Barack Obama over here telling us what's what, didn't we, this week in the UK?
Well, that was kind of him.
That was very nice. We went and met the Queen. He said the Queen's his favourite person on the planet. Oh, Queenie. It's not Angelina or your wife, Michelle. Oh, his favourite woman, that's what he said, wasn't it? It's quite Queen is my favourite, he said. But he's given us he's over here sort of back in the stay in the EU because he says that, or he warned that Britain would go to the back of the queue for US trade if we left the EU. And I'm like, well.
And he had to read that word queue off of a teleprompter because he never used that.
off of a cue card, yeah. Because we're like, he was over here and he they let little Prince fucking
George
William stay up late to meet George. Sorry, stay up late to meet him. Is his folks back from their tour of Asia yet?
Yeah, they were there. Yeah,
oh, they were there, right?
Yeah, William was in the picture.
Yeah, saw that.
It was quite funny. We just happened across the fucking. The BBC made this TV show of the royal family sitting down watching old Super 8s of them when they were kids and stuff. when, you know, the first sort of things of Princess Margaret and the Queen when they were kids and all this. And I was just thinking, well, that's just like a fucking posh goggle box, isn't it? Then watch themselves on fucking telly. It was like, Jesus Christ.
There was an interview on the BBC with Prince William. I think it was like the day before birthday. And the reporter asked him what he thought about some of the public reaction of calling him Workshire Will. And yeah, I think, you know, he does have a proper job as well as doing all the other stuff. I think it's part time. But he's still.
What is he dumping bins into a truck? What do you mean? What's he doing?
Yeah, he's a like a search and rescue pilot, like you know, sort of.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and George W. was a pilot too.
Unlike Bush, he who had a pilot's license but didn't do anything with it. He does do something with it, even though it's for a short amount of time, while he's subsidising with the benefits that we give him.
Yeah, man. Did you hear him talk? Did you hear him swearing as well about his grandma gave him a telling off one day?
No,
said he gave her a right. Apparently, him and Zara were out in the fucking grounds of Sandringham. With or Balmoral or something like that, with quad bikes,
uh-huh.
And he bashed into Zara. Zara being Princess Anne's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, that he bashed her off a quad bike, and she crashed into a lamppost and broke it, and it came down nearly crushed. And he said, "Oh," and my grandmother came out and gave me the most terrible bollocking. Yeah, right. And what was the quad bike made of? Fucking vinyl
titanium.
Fucking high tires. Yeah, it was made of gold and it had fucking unicorn skin seats and all that.
No!
Fucking, really. So I guess we're coming up on the
Prince doesn't like his music being streamed on different.
Yeah, that's right. I wondered how you were going to handle this.
So I've downloaded a tune from YouTube to get around that one.
Well done.
So
is it Ben Dostry?
No, I got Sign of the Times. I can.
I
can.
Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
Get Dove's Cry for the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, that would be this one's choice too.
I'll.
It's the best song by a mile, but Sign of the Times is very good.
Yeah.
And timely as today's headline.
Even though it's a really good tune when Doves Cry, I think there are better. I think there's better on that album as well. Like Baby I'm a Star is just fucking. That whole album is.
Well, that was
brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised to learn that only sold like a couple hundred thousand copies less than Thriller did that year.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Soundtracks, it's one of the biggest selling albums of all time. Amazing album.
Yeah, yeah. I
just think Doves Cry is just a fabulous song. It's two chords.
Yeah.
And the way that the album, if you listen to it in the entirety, like goes, like it merges from what song to song.
Yeah,
it's
incredible.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll play that at the end. At the moment, okay. We've got a Sign of the Times. So here we go.
Oh, yeah.
And folks that are listening, remember that after the song ends... this part of the show will finish. Just press play and you can start listening to the next part of the show. Okay, take care.
And challenge yourself to swivel your hips during the whole song. There you go.
Enjoy, folks.
Chance his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby cause she couldn't afford to feed it, and it was sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time, now he's doing horse. It's June. Bomb falls, will everybody see the dawn? Time.